Welcome back. This is an advanced warehouse-style Ableton Live 12 lesson, and we're building a riser the jungle way, not with a glossy synth sweep, but with the break itself. The move is called a break roll drive. Think of it like you're a DJ cutting a dubplate and riding the system harder and harder right into the drop. The identity of the break stays recognizable, but the pressure ramps up through repetition, tone shaping, pitch lift, and really intentional control right before impact. By the end, you'll have a 1-2 bar roll riser you can drop into any arrangement, a riser bus chain you can reuse, and automation lanes that you can copy and paste like a weapon. Alright, step 0, choose the right break and prep it properly. Pick a loop that already feels period correct. Amen, think, hot pants, funky drummer energy, something with a snare that speaks and some grit in the hats, because if the source isn't right, no amount of processing is going to magically make it feel like 94. Now warp it clean. Double-click the clip. Turn warp on. Set warp mode to beats and preserve to transient. Make sure transient looping is off, because we're going to do the repeating ourselves. Keep the loop length tight, 1 bar or 2 bars. Rolls aren't about long phrases, they're about escalation. Quick producer note, at 165 to 175, beats warp usually keeps that punch. If it starts getting clicky or weird, don't compromise your main break. You can always use a different warp mode just for the riser layer later. The riser can be slightly processed and still feel right. Now step 1. Protect your main drums. Duplicate your break track so you don't destroy your groove. Command or Control D. Rename it something obvious like break roll riser. Keep it right next to the main break so you can /B fast. Mute it for a moment. Now, before we even build the roll, here's a mindset that's going to keep you out of trouble. Choose a hero slice and a support slice. Your hero slice is usually the snare or rim transient that reads on small speakers. That's the thing that says this is the break. Your support slice is a crunchy ghost note, hat, or little kick click. Advanced rolls usually don't spam the whole loop. They mostly hammer those two slices, and then you sprinkle in 1 or 2 fuller hits as punctuation. Let's build version 1. The manual chop grid approach. This is the surgical jungle producer method. Go into arrangement view and highlight the 1 bar right before your drop. Consolidate it so it becomes its own clip. That's Command or Control J. Now you've got options. You can edit the audio directly, but the powerful move is slice to new MIDI track. Right-click the clip. Slice to new MIDI track. Choose transient slicing. Ableton will build you a drum rack full of slices from your break. Now program the acceleration. The easiest mental model is, density rises across the bar. In the first half, you're hitting 8th notes. 3rd beat, jump to 16ths. 4th beat, go to 30 seconds. And if you want that old rave swing, instead of straight 30 seconds at the very end, try a triplet burst like a 124 feel for just a moment. That little polyrhythmic flick at the top can make the drop feel massive, because the ear has to reset when straight time comes back. When you're writing the MIDI, don't machine gun one velocity the whole way. Put some breathing into it. A simple repeating accent pattern works. Strong, weak, weak, strong. It feels like a drummer accelerating instead of a printer. And if you want extra bounce, grab a groove from the groove pool. Something like MPC 16 swing, around 55 to 60. Use it lightly. 5 to 15% is usually enough. Too much groove and your roll starts feeling like it's tripping over itself. Now let's do version 2. The fat performance engine approach with beat repeat. Turn on that break roll riser track and add devices in a clean order. But before beat repeat, I want you to do something that's going to make everything hit harder with less mud. Control the low end early. Put a high pass filter or EQ before beat repeat and before distortion. Because if your repeat engine is constantly re-triggering low mids and subby energy, you'll get a cloudy smear, your limiter will clamp, and the riser will feel smaller even if it's louder on the meter. So first device. Auto filter or EQ8, high pass around 120 to 250 Hz. Choose the cutoff based on your break. If it's a really chunky break, you might go higher for the riser. The drop will bring the real weight. Now add beat repeat. Set interval to 1 bar, so it grabs in a predictable way. Offset at 0. Varination at 0, because we want consistent, not random. Gate around 80 to 100% depending on how tight you want it. Chance is 100% during the riser. And mix is the big one. Start it at 0 and ramp it upward. Here's a practical automation shape. First half of the bar, grid at 1/8 and mix around 15 to 25%. Last quarter, grid at 1/16 and mix around 40 to 60. Final 8th note, grid at 1/32 and mix around 60 to 80. Don't slam it to 100 unless you want full-on blender mode. The reason we ramp the mix instead of instantly switching is you want the original transient identity to remain audible while the repetition grows around it. That's where the pressure comes from. Now after beat repeat, add an auto filter for the classic opening up effect. Set it to low pass 24. Start the cutoff around 1 to 3k, then ramp it up to 12 to 18k by the top. Keep resonance moderate. If you crank resonance, you get a whistle. We want pressure, not a tea kettle. If you want more push, use filter drive a few dB instead of resonance. Now we add the old rave move, tape up pitch drive. Option A is the authentic simple way. Automate clip transpose. Start at 0 semitones and end around plus 3 to plus 7 over a bar. And I want you to think about the curve more than the number. Do a slow start and a faster rise at the end. Linear ramps often feel like EDM. Exponential curves feel like a human hand pushing a deck. Option B is shifter, which gives you smooth control. Put shifter after the filter. Set it to pitch mode. Automate from 0 to plus 5 semitones, maybe with a tiny fine to tune 10 to 30 cents right at the peak for tension. Keep mix at 100%. Only use wide mode if it doesn't mess up mono. And quick reality check. Don't pitch it until it turns into cartoon chipmunks. This is urgency, not comedy. Now we dirty it up like it's going through a warehouse rig. Saturation, clamping, and control density. Add saturator next. Put it on analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Drive anywhere from plus 3 to plus 10 dB. And yes, automate it upward so it feels like the system is being pushed. If you want extra harmonics, use the color options, but keep your ears on the high end. The goal is excitement, not sandpaper. Then drum bus. Carefully. This is one of those devices that can take you from huge to fizzy mess in about 2 seconds. Drive maybe 5 to 20%, and you can ramp it a bit. Crunch stays low, like 0 to 10%. Use damp, around 2 to 6k to tame harshness as the distortion builds. Boom is usually off for risers, because we've already high-passed early and we don't want sub bloom stepping on the drop. Then a limiter for safety. Ceiling around minus 0.3 dB. You're not trying to obliterate it. 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction at the peak is plenty. The goal is that RMS rises while peaks stay controlled. And this is where I want you to start thinking like it's a mastering moment. Watch the meters. Look at peak versus RMS. Watch stereo correlation if you start doing widening tricks. And leave true peak headroom so the drop can actually hit. Now, the secret sauce that makes the drop feel bigger. The pre-drop vacuum. Right before the drop, create a tiny moment of air. Put utility at the end and automate gain down in the last 1/16th to 1/8th note. It can be the quick dip, or even a full microsilence. Another trick is a mono pinch. Automate width to zero in the last 1/8th note, then snap back to your normal width at the drop. That squeeze then release makes the impact feel wider. Optional extra, a reverb tail yank. Put hybrid reverb on a return track. Send the roll into it during the last beat. Then hard cut the return right before the drop. You get the impression of space, and then it gets sucked out so the drop arrives dry, loud, and confident. Now let's talk about advanced variation ideas, because once you've got the basic roll working, these are the little moves that make it sound like you've been doing this for years. 1. The reverse microburst. In the last 1/8th or quarter note, reverse a tiny slice like a snare tail or hat and repeat it at a fast grid. It mimics vinyl agitation, without doing a cheesy full rewind. 2. Triplet tension. Keep everything straight until the final beat, then flip the last beat to a triplet grid. 3 over 4 at the top, then the drop snaps back to straight. That contrast is pure rave psychology. 3. Two-stage capture with beat repeat. Duplicate your chain into two racks, one clean and transient, one dirtier with more drive and more filter push. Fade from clean to dirty over the bar. The texture evolves without needing more notes. 4. Microflam loudness. Duplicate the roll track. On the duplicate, high pass it, distort it a bit, and set track delay to plus 5 to 15 milliseconds. Blend it quietly. It reads as bigger and wider without obvious reverb. 5. If you want tonal pressure without leaving the break-derived world, duplicate a snare slice track and put resonators on it. Tune to your key center or the fifth. Bring up dry wet near the peak. Now the riser has a note, but it still feels like it came from the break. Now arrangement placement, because this is where people accidentally ruin their own drop. Most common placement is one bar before the drop. For bigger moments, make it two bars. Bar minus two is subtle, filtered, and lower beat repeat mix. Bar minus one is where pitch ramps, distortion ramps, and the grid gets fast. And here's an arrangement discipline that matters. At the drop, the roll track goes off. Don't let it mask the first kick and snare. Give the drop at least 1 to 2 beats of uncluttered space. You can also do call and response with your main drums. In the final bar, pull your main break down a few dB, or simplify it, maybe pull hats out, so the roll takes the mic. Then hard mute the roll exactly at the drop. That's how you get drama without chaos. Now, once it's hitting right, print it, freeze and flatten, or resample to a new audio track. Printing isn't just for CPU, it's commitment. It turns the roll into an arrangement object you can slide, trim, reverse little pieces of, and reuse as a signature tag across the tune. Quick checklist of common mistakes to avoid. If you overrepeat full spectrum breaks, you get a washy mess. Fix it by high passing earlier and keeping low end out until the final moment, if at all. If your filter resonance whistles, back it down and let distortion provide it excitement.